Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. It must be approaching Christmas time, because I'm wearing a Santa hat, and I got a Muppets Christmas sweatshirt on. And I'm drinking the official beverage of Sour Graps lemonade out of a Christmas tree glass. And I'm wearing a glove on my mouse clicking hand because I have poor circulation when it's like 45 degrees in my basement. So it must be Christmas time. It's the most laziest time of the year. Because that's when Vince just says, fuck it. And doesn't really matter, whatever. We're trying to get to the Rumble. Fuck it. Let's just, don't put anything, any effort into anything. Let's build a baby face by having her lose big matches. That's good. That's a good thing. We like that, don't we? Or do we? I don't know. Guys, SmackDown wasn't bad, but it still sucked. That's the way it works. Some decent in-ring action. Promos were not terrible. Everything that Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens do continues to be golden. And yet, still sucks. Because people who are in charge can't get out of their own way. We'll preview TLC at the end of this. Maybe I'll do it like throughout the evening as we touch on stuff that will appear on the show. But let's get it started. As I said, everything that Roman and Kevin Owens do is so good. It's really one of the low-key best feuds of the year. I don't even know why. You know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be. It's obviously a placeholder. Like, no one believes Kevin Owens is winning the match tomorrow. I mean, nobody. It seems like it was like they were heading in a direction of Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan, but like Kevin Owens like just sidestepped in there and did that again. And so we're like, okay, great. I like these people. And then it became like must-watch television because of how good each of them were in their roles and continue to be in their roles. But it's not like they said, let's book this shit out months in advance, giving you little hints here and there. And when we finally get around to giving you the match, oh God, you'll be so ready for it. Won't it be great? Because they don't do that anymore. They just said, hey, Roman, you're going to have a feud with Kevin Owens. And it feels like Roman said, hey, can Paul handle this? Me and Kevin and Jay and Paul will do this one. We'll write this one. And you can figure everything else. And Vince was like, okay, Roman, I trust you. And so Roman and Kevin and Jay and Paul Heyman like put their heads together and created this amazing feud. The reason I say that is because everything else on both shows is pretty shitty. You know what I mean? Like, this is so much better than everything else that it doesn't make sense for the same writing staff to be working on both this and all of that. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, Owens comes comes down and he's going to cut a promo, and it's a good promo. He says, "You know, I've been waiting all week. I want to do this. Let's have a fight because you beat me up last week, and I want to fight you right now. And it was fine if you don't want to show up. I'll talk. You know, my family heard your little message that you should, you know, talk me out of it. Well, they didn't do that, but I did tell them not to watch TLC on Sunday. Not because I'm afraid of how they'll react when they see what you did to me, but I'm afraid of how they'll react, how they're going to judge me when they see what I do to you." And I thought that was a decent little way to frame that. That's a good way of doing that. Roman won't come out. And eventually Paul Heyman appears on the big screen. And it's so much, you can tell it's Paul Heyman doing it and not somebody else who's just like, how do I explain this? Sometimes writers will have shorthand. You know what I mean? Where anytime, I mean, even friggin' Shakespeare did this. You know what I mean? Like, anytime like a messenger enters the throne room of the king and has a message to deliver, I mean, 8 out of 10 times the messenger will have the same two lines that he says. You know what I mean? Because it's shorthand. Like, we'll figure this out when we get into rehearsals, but a messenger says, "My king, I have a message to deliver to you." You know what I mean? It's not important. It's just a thing that people say. And the writer uses that as a shorthand, meaning like, I'll fill in the details later. Now, the reason we know this is because Shakespeare's plays were oftentimes rewritten extensively in rehearsals, but all we have in form is the original drafts of some of these things. They were cut down, or it's, this one's too long and there's stuff that's obviously written in there twice and they need to be edited down, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, that's the whole thing. So I feel like there's not Shakespeare, obviously Shakespeare ain't writing this shit, but that a writer who's been writing for WWE, i.e. Vince or Bruce Pritchard, anytime somebody has to interrupt whoever's talking in the ring with a Titantron promo, anytime that happens, the person always says, hey, you in the ring, up here. I'm up here. Come here. Look up here. Like every time. So that it's not like it's based on the individual. You know what I mean? And it's not like the guy says, hey, and then the person in the ring looks around, where's that coming from? And then the person on the Titantron says, up here. And the guy goes, oh, up there. Like, that never happens. It's not a reason to say up here, except for the fact that it's a bullshit shorthand some writer is using. Probably fits. But not this time. Because Paul Heyman is like, no, I wouldn't do that. Also, it's stupid to do it. So Paul Heyman is talking to some producer off screen. He's probably not even there, guys. He's probably talking to nobody because he's a good actor. And he says, hey, just put me on the screen. I don't care. Interrupt him. Just put me on the screen. Okay, there I am. That's so much better than, hey, Kevin, up here. It's so much better. It's the little things, man. Anyway, he says, do you forget that it's Roman does things on Roman time? Like, we're not doing this thing because you say so. And then he gives a promo to Kevin Owens about how Kevin Owens, he thought he was a masochist. He just loves being beaten up. And, you know, maybe we should. That's fine, because Owens is a sadist. He says, you don't actually enjoy it, but you won't stop. So you need to be, taken out, like eradicated. And, Owens is like, all right, shut up. I'm coming up there. And he leaves. And then we go to commercial. And we come back, and Adam Pearce, assistant to the regional manager, general manager, Adam Pearce, is trying to stop Kevin Owens from going into Roman's locker room. Listen, TLC Sunday. Just wait until Sunday. Can we just wait until Sunday? And then you can beat him up, please? So you don't ruin this main event that I put together because I have matchmaking powers now? And then Owens is like, no, I'm going to go in there anyway, but it's locked. Oh, nefarious. He locked the door, that dastardly heel. And then Roman comes out to the ring. So he yoinked him around the, come over here. And then he goes around the other way. Ah, geez. That dastardly heel. This is another thing. All the boos that Roman is getting, all the people on the Thunderdome screens doing the boo. You can't actually hear them. They don't pipe the people's at home mics into the arena because what if you said something nasty? You know? What if you said, fuck this stupid booking bullshit? If you had said that, and they had your mic on and piping into the arena, that would be bad. So they tell everybody to do this. And everybody does it because if you're not doing it, they take your face off the screen. Because you have to do the things that they tell you to do. And people, why would you want to be part of the Thunderdome if it wasn't all about you, right? So, I'm kidding. I know people who've been in it, and from all accounts, it can be fun. But the whole boo, they told me, so a producer told me to say boo and make a thumbs down. So I'm saying boo and making a thumbs down. But all the noise they pipe in over Roman's segments, all the boos, all the you suck chants, they're going to get in front of a crowd eventually. They're going to get in front of a live crowd again. And I think Vince is going to be shocked at what kind of a response Roman Reigns is going to get from a crowd. Not from the kids, but from everybody else. People, I think, really love the work that Roman is doing. And yeah, you boo him because he's a heel and you should boo heels, but really, people are going to go apeshit for the stuff he's doing. They're going to cheer the hell out of him. And then you're going to have Roman start doing promos of like, everybody here, shut up. Oh, you shut up. You bad people. You stink and your town stinks. And I mean, one of the main reasons that you have those, you used to have those promos all the time was because you had to train the audience not to boo, not to cheer the cool people. Like, I like this guy. He's a heel. I'm going to cheer him. And then the heel goes, don't cheer for me. I think you're smelly. Well, he said I'm smelly. Boo! They don't have to do that now because Vince is in control of what the crowds sound like. As soon as he's not in control anymore, he's going to have to try and make them. All the fake people are booing Roman Reigns while he's trying to talk. He's trying to he says to Owens, I'm going to give you the same chance I gave Jay. Acknowledge me as your tribal chief, and I won't kill you. And Owens' music comes out, and he comes out, and Jay attacks Owens from behind because it was the old rope-a-dope or bait and switch or Statue of Liberty play. I'm not sure. It's one of those. It's a trick play. It's flea flicker. And Owens is able to get the better of Jay, I think. I think that's how that works. I'm not really sure exactly when. There was one point. Yeah, Jay attacks him from behind at the bottom of the ramp. And then Reigns gets and Owens double team him. And they beat him out, face down on the ground. They beat him down. Reigns is just going crazy, hitting him with strikes and stuff, and with the chair. Um, So Owen starts to get up, and Reigns launches him into the barrier. They beat him up. And so they go up the ramp, and back from the break, and Jay and Roman are backstage with Paul Heyman, and Owen says he got the message. I think he got the message. He says, no, he won't stop. We got to put an end to this. Take him out. So Uso, the rest of the night is just him trying to take out Kevin Owens over and over again. They decided to do this match on SmackDown instead of on the pay-per-view. They've been building to it for a while. It's Street Profits versus Ziggler and Rude for the tag team titles. Street Profits win. It's a decent match. Street Profits win. I hate this thing that they do occasionally where the heel will attempt a heelish cover, either, you know, with the feet on the ropes or a fistful of tights in this situation, a fistful of tights, and the guy will kick out or the ref will see it, right? And immediately after that, the babyface will do the same heelish pin, either the foot on the ropes or a fistful of tights. And the ref won't see it, and the guy won't kick out, and the babyfaces win by doing heel shit. But it's okay because the heel cheated first, and two wrongs make a right. That's what they're telling you, kids at home who watch WWE and also this show. Go to bed. But before you go to bed, you should know. WWE wants you to know. Two wrongs make a right. So, good for you, kids. Yeah, that's a stupid thing. I don't like that. I mean, I'm not naive to believe that there's, you know, cheating is, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? But it's just a weird thing that they do that all the time. And they did it with this one. And it's a stupid one. It's a schoolboy roll up with a fistful of tights. Oh, look at that. The baby face is one. And then Rudin and Ziggler get in the face of Charles Robinson, and he yells that back at him. So they had every right to be pissed. Like, they lost via cheating. Now, they tried to cheat beforehand, granted. But, like, it's just a weird... Jesus. It's just stupid. Couple good things in the match. Angelo Dawkins' hot tag is very good. Montez Ford still is great in the ring. I wonder when Vince is going to be like, okay, cool, barbershop. Brutus the Beefcake's barbershop. Montez, you're turning on Angelo. I wonder when that's going to happen. But Angelo his hot tag's very good. I like his like double undercook spinning neck breaker thing is very cool. The pop up famouser is a good move. I think that's I like that a lot. But that's it. That's the match. It's a decent match. I think it's probably the best in-ring work of the night. Like, are there only three matches? Hold on. Four matches. Yeah, four matches. I was forgetting about the next one. So the four matches, this is probably the best one. Go for the Street Profits. I mean, they've been champs since March. And I don't see anything like there's no reason to take it off them. You know what I mean? They don't have any there's no oh, well, that up and coming heel team, they could be tough. No, there's none of that. They don't have any of that. So why not just keep it on them at this point? Have them keep it through Mania. Have them break New Day's record. Well, I fucking know. I don't know. Please don't do that, though. Kevin Owens he's walking with officials trying to, like, you know, please, you know, don't do this, whatever he's planning on doing. Kevin, don't do this. It's not the time. Now is not the time, Kevin. Don't do this. Please. Kevin, think of your kids. Kevin, please don't. No, please. Kevin, please don't. They should really write stuff for the refs and officials to say while they're trying to talk people. It's like, no, please don't. Just think about it. Please don't. You shouldn't do it. Please, no. Please, please don't. Please, no. Please think about it. Please don't. Because they don't really, they're not actually doing anything. It's just weird that they're like, just, they can have them say, ba, ja, ba, ba, ga, he, ba, ba, da, ja, ja, ba, shma, ba, ba, ja, da. Same basic idea. Peas and carrots, peas and carrots, peas and carrots. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. That's some inside acting talk. That's what they teach you to say when you're a part of the rabble. It looks when you say watermelon, 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 from a distance, it looks like your mouth is actually forming more words than watermelon. You don't say it very loud. Like, the whole focus is somebody else talking, but you got to be looking like you're talking to somebody else in the background. And so to each other, you say peas and carrots, watermelon, watermelon, peas and carrots, watermelon. But you're whispering it so nobody can hear you. I think they should have Jessica Carr, who's the referee, who's talking to Kevin Owens. Instead of saying, Kevin, please don't. Kevin, think about it. She should say, peas and carrots, watermelon. Peas and carrots, watermelon, watermelon, peas and carrots. It's the same basic idea. It is also fucking meaningless, so why not? Festive. Owens gets attacked from behind by Jey Uso with a chair. Uso says, stay down. I like throughout the entire night, every time Uso beats up Owens, he hits him really hard and he leaves him laying. Every time he says, just stay down. Which to me, I don't know, maybe this isn't true, but I think it signifies there's a little bit of a good guy, some heart left in Jey Uso. Like, he hasn't fully turned to the dark side. Like, he doesn't want Roman to have to kill Kevin Owens. And he knows Roman will kill Kevin Owens. So, Owens, just stay down, because I don't want you to die. Maybe that's it? I don't know. I thought it was an interesting thing, like, you know, like, an interesting way of framing the beatdowns. The beatdowns are not to necessarily hurt him so badly that he can't compete, although that is what Roman asks Uso to do. If that was the case, Uso could have kept hitting him with a chair. He could have localized a few chair shots, like the bone of his ankle or something. I mean, obviously, they don't want him to not be able to compete. And in kayfabe, that's what you would do if you were trying to make a guy not compete. You would pilmanize his ankle or something, you know? Instead, one really heavy chair shot to the back, which hurts, I'm sure, like a motherfucker, but isn't enough to actually cripple a guy. But you tell him, just act like you're crippled. Give up. Please don't get up anymore, because I don't want you to actually get hurt. That's a difference. And I think it's subtle, but I think it's there. Again, I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt who are in the storyline, because I think they've all thought it through. So the Riot Squad beats Billy Kay and Tamina. as far as I know, yeah. So anyway, Billie Kay is supposed to find a partner again. She has a little bit of a promo before the match where she talks about her resume. I think she's great, and I still believe the best thing they could do with her right now is to be the rival of Kayla Braxton backstage. Hey, Kayla! I really think they should do that. I think it'll be great. Anyway, she comes out and she she introduces Tamina. Tamina's her partner. Big match, Tamina. And so Tamina starts the match, and she does well. Very well. But she hits a Samoan drop on Ruby Riott right after Billie Kay tags herself in. So Billie Kay goes in and goes for a two count. Liv breaks it up. And then they immediately pin Billie Kay with a cool double team move. It's like a drop kick from the top rope into a flatliner, like a drop kick, missile drop kick to the back of the head into a flatliner. It's a good double team move. Billie Kay is pinned. It's an entirely nothing match. It's building up Tamina and Billy. It's building up Riot Squad into something we like. And I like them very much. It's weird that Liv and Lana to a degree as well, but Liv has been like on the record saying she really thinks that they owe it to people. I don't know who exactly, but they owe it to finish the Liv and Lana storyline. I'm like, no, you don't. That was never going to be done right. But if they're so against using an actual out lesbian in Sonya Deville to do a gay woman storyline, I love the little cute, friendly back and forth that they're doing with Liv and Ruby right now. If there were people who were on staff who could handle this with the right amount of delicacy that you would need, and of course there aren't those people, and if there were, they'd have to go through Vince, which probably not. But in the ideal circumstances of having a company that would be willing to do it, a person in charge who would let it happen, and a person with the right dexterity to write the thing, I think that a Ruby and Liv love story could be really compelling. I think that they're really great together. And there's one little tweak that has, there's a little backstage thing where they're talking about who they hope Billie Kay is going to pick. And Liv is being childish and sweet and saying, maybe it's Beyonce or Wonder Woman. And Ruby's like, yeah, I guess Gal Gadot would be interesting. No, not the actress who plays her, actual Wonder Woman. And Ruby's like, you're a nut. And it's cute. Like, I could easily say, all it would take is a tiny little tweak to turn that from cute friend banter into cute girlfriend banter. They're not going to do that, and I don't want them to, because they'd fuck it up. But if there was a possibility of them not fucking it up, I think it could actually be compelling. This is just shit. I mean, it's decent. Like the stuff between Liv and Ruby is good, but like it's just shit that they put in there to pad the runtime. Carmella is backstage with a sommelier. And he's showing her a bottle of champagne. And this is where the watermelon also comes in handy. Because she's looking at it going, Is this what it is? I don't know what she's saying, but there's no way she has that many questions about the champagne that is being presented to her, because crucially, the actor playing her sommelier isn't responding to any of the questions. So if she says, "What vintage is this?" and he responds with, "It's a 1998 or whatever. Oh, is that a good year? Well, it was a good year in certain regions of France, but also in other regions. So this is a very good vintage. You're really going to love this. I'm detecting notes of oak, whatever. Fucking figure it out. Look it up. This is what you do as an actor. If they tell you, yeah, you need to improv some stuff about champagne, figure it out. Google it. It'll take you 2 minutes to know what you're supposed to say to each other. Instead of just Carmella looking at a bottle of champagne in front of her going like, this is it just fucking, I don't know what the hell that is. She's in a slinky dress, which is nice. They don't put her in her fucking ring gear. I like that. They shouldn't. She comes out and she's still doing the goddamn Badunkadunk. Almost said Babadook. Badunkadunk Grinch silhouette thing where they put the floodlight right up under her butt to get the silhouette, and it's not flattering. Anyway, she does the blah. She sings some stuff, and it's yeah. There's a lot of different bottles of champagne out there. One of them is a bottle of Cook's champagne. It is $9. It's cheaper than Korbel from last week, which was $11. Cook's is the champagne that you buy when you're throwing a New Year's Eve party in college, and you want to make sure there's enough champagne for everybody when you do the champagne toast at midnight when you watch the ball drop on TV. So you buy like 6 bottles of Cook's for $50 because you're a good party host. At least that's how it was when I was in college, but I was in college a long time ago. She cuts a promo on Sasha Banks, and it's not a bad promo, and she's actually decent at it, but it's like, I don't care. Like, it's not like, it's a weird thing. Like, they keep talking about, she has good points about Sasha. Like, Sasha's under so much pressure to stay champion because she's never had a reign this long. This is her longest reign by far. So she needs to be champion, because if she's not the boss, if she's not the best, then who is Sasha Banks? That's a decent thing. But I don't believe for a second that Carmella's going to beat Sasha Banks. So I guess I like, who is Sasha Banks if she's not the best? I don't know. It's an interesting question, and one that shall not be answered at this Friday, at this Sunday's pay-per-view. It will be answered later when somebody else beats her. Carmella gets whatever. She says, nothing lifts my spirits more than a fine glass of champagne. Well, Carmella, do you know where you could get some? Because there isn't a fine glass of champagne anywhere in that ring, my dear. She drinks and says, oh, this tastes cheap and frantic. Kind of like Banks. It's kind of like you, Sasha. So Sasha shows up. Her music hits. And the sommelier goes out to the ramp to, like, I don't know, head her off at the pass, I guess. But Sasha comes in from behind and up, and she looks at the champagne flutes and sips from one of them and then throws them in the champagne in the sparkling white wine, the Welch's grape juice, sparkling grape juice. She throws it in Carmella's face and then, and tries to beat her up, put her in the bank statement. But, she gets pulled off of, Carmella by the sommelier and then slaps the sommelier. And then Carmella breaks another bottle of champagne on the same spot on Sasha's back. Now, it's a breakaway piece of glass. Like, that's why it shatters into dust when it's cracked across the small back of, like, really low back of Sasha. While we're not up aiming for between the shoulder blades or higher. Like it's a breakaway glass. Like it you get hit by something, but it's made to be used in a staged fight when you hit somebody over the head with it. So you could do that. Like that's what you would do. It's obviously not a real bottle of champagne because I don't know if you've tried this, but you can drop one of them shits out of a 3-story window and it won't break when it hits the ground. Like those are some thick fucking glasses, glass bottles, it's thick shit. So you're hitting her in the small of the back, which I'd be totally down with. If Carmella had a move that targeted the lower back, like, for example, the bank statement. If Carmella was, like, trying to give her back spasms by hitting her over and over in the lower back so that her finishing move, which targeted the lower back, would become more effective at TLC, I'd be like, fine. Otherwise, I feel like you're just got really bad aim. So Carmella stands tall. Sasha Banks. I don't know. If you haven't seen the most recent episode of The Mandalorian, I'm not going to talk about that spoiler. But if you haven't seen the most recent episode of The Mandalorian, just mute me for the next 10 seconds. Okay? And 3, 2, 1, mute. Sasha Banks gave a tornado DDT to fucking Boba Fett. On the day that this was done. And they couldn't figure out a way to have her fucking talk. In the Go Home episode, she didn't get a chance to cut a promo or say anything. She just showed up and threw some champagne in Carmella's face. I have no idea what a huge crossover star they have in Sasha Banks. If they did, they'd promote her better. Jey Uso attacks Kevin Owens, who's in the trainer's room. And Uso puts him to a table and then yells again, "Just stay down." Otis versus Shinsuke Nakamura is a match that happened. It's a one-on-one match. Cesaro is at ringside. Remember their tag match from last week. But Otis versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Shinsuke is not that guy anymore, people. He just isn't. I wish he was. I wish he was thought of in that way. But they fucked him up 6 ways from Sunday when he got to the main roster. It just didn't work because they didn't know what to do with him. That, like, he should have taken the title off of Jinder. My God, he should have taken the title off of Jinder, but they didn't do that. And then they turned him heel versus AJ. Right. Yeah. And, he's been a heel ever since. And you know, like the stuff with Cesaro has been good. Some of it, but he's not the guy that we all thought was promised to us. He is in no way, shape, or form the person who had that match with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's farewell NXT match and Shinsuke's inaugural NXT match. This is just not the same guy anymore. I suppose he could be if they started to book him that way, but they ain't. So him losing to Otis shouldn't be a huge surprise, even if it is fucking depressing. I like Gable as Otis's coach, for one reason. Like at one point, like he actually, there's a great point where like Nakamura's got him in like this little, you know, hold, some kind of vice squeeze or whatever. And Gable, like, yells to Otis, "You know how to get out of this. Now do it." And Otis does. Like, he gets out with his cool, like, little slam thing. I like that. We talked about this. You know what he's going to do. And this is a version of the Timothy Thatcher thing. Only, like, you know, like, less overt malice, but more, like, you know, goofy, egotistical stuff. Otis is about to go for the caterpillar, but Chad Gable jumps up on the apron and says, no, 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 no. Do the suplex instead. So because of that distraction, he doesn't do the caterpillar. And Nakamura almost gets the two count with a roll-up. But Otis does hit the suplex. And he does a second rope Vader bomb for the pin to win. And I'm going to tell you right now, if Chad Gable can actually get Otis to stop doing the caterpillar forever, then somebody needs to like immediately induct Chad Gable into the Hall of Fame. Like, he deserves a 300% pay raise, and you put him in the Hall of Fame right now. That fucking thing is awful. The caterpillar is awful. It makes no fucking sense. It was cute when Scotty Too Hotty did the worm. You know what I mean? Otis is supernaturally strong. For his finishing move to have been forever, flops on his belly until he hits an elbow drop, is fucking stupid. He should be yeeting folks into the sun. That should be his finishing maneuver. The Vader bomb, I'm fine with. You use your girth to your favor. And if you want to use your girth to your favor, you should get Blue Chew. That's a free one. I'm fine with that, with the Vader bomb as his finisher, but no more caterpillars. None. I'm sure the end result of this is Otis rebelling against Gable, you know, telling him what to do, and probably eventually it ends their feud they'll have with Otis pinning Gable with the caterpillar. I'm sure that's the way it's going to work. But fuck this company. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Gable and Otis are later, they're backstage, and Gable, they, you know, Gable's coaching him, and Otis doesn't understand it because Gable's kind of full of shit. Hydrate. We're back at it tomorrow. More training. I don't know where any of this is going. It's so fucking weird to me, though, that, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, we were like, Otis is the next big thing. He's Mr. Money in the Bank, and he's going to be the next champion. And now he's, like, just, I don't know, getting pointers from Shorty G. It's a weird fucking thing, right? That, like, what they had to, like, they not only did they say, you're not going to be WWE or Universal Champion, we're not going to do that with you right now, but they also, like, bumped him down to, like, tag duty and getting coached by somebody thing. Like, they broke up his tag team that, like, was the reason he was on the main roster. And they didn't even give him a feud to settle the differences he had with his tag partner. And by the way, that tag partner is just, he's fucking AWOL. He's gone. So, this is a weird fucking thing. Like, the trajectory of Otis, like, what a year for Otis, honestly. Like, and I feel for him. This isn't shit that he, like, I can't imagine Otis, like, lobbying for this kind of shit. This just was just, I was talking about Shakespeare before. It's from the play Twelfth Night. Character says, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Otis is definitely in the third camp. Like, he was not born great. He did not necessarily achieve greatness. He did not strive to become this. I'm sure Otis would have been perfectly happy still teaming with Tucker, being in tag title contention every now and then, popping a crowd when they get an actual live crowd, doing his tummy jiggle stuff, and that's it. But no, Vince said, God damn it, pal, you're great. We're going to give you the Money in the Bank briefcase and you're going to be champion. And Otis is like, I'm sure this was the reaction. Awesome. I never would have dreamed. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I won't let you down. And he didn't. It wasn't his fault that they put the damn universal title on Braun. And then they were like, well, we're not going to do that because Braun's a baby face and you're a baby face. We're not going to do that right now. That's not going to be the thing we're going to do. But later, we'll totally do it later. And then later turned into like the Fiend for a week, which no. And then it turned into like the fucking, I don't know, embodiment of a god come down from Olympus on high in the form of Roman Reigns. And that's not going to happen. Otis did nothing wrong. He's just been doing what they've asked of him, and they don't fucking know what they're doing. Poor guy's like went from like basically, I mean, really, he was in that thing with Dolph and Mandy at the beginning of the year, which ended up not even being about him. It was about Sonya and Mandy. And then he became Money in the Bank, Mr. Money in the Bank. And then he wasn't. And now he's nowhere. Like he's barely on television. That's a crazy fucking trajectory of 1 year in a professional wrestler's life. And none of it is his doing. It's really fucking crazy. Sami Zayn is going to do the Sammy Awards. Not to be confused with the Slammy Awards. Which, by the way, those things are fucking bullshit. I might talk about those on Tuesday or something. Monday, whenever I'm going to do that show. There's some fucking bullshit nominees for that, man. Sammy is he has to go off and get polished for the awards. And Big E is also dressed for the awards. Sammy was in a tuxedo. Big E takes the envelopes that have the winners in them, and he's going to ruin the ceremony. I'm talking about this in a second. First of all, this ceremony. So Sami Zayn is entertaining enough. He's entertaining enough. He does. The joke is, Sammy gives all the awards to himself for best comeback, best match of the year, which honestly, that match, ladder match, triple threat between him and Jeff Hardy and AJ, certainly in the running. Top five WWE match of the year. And one of the best during the COVID era. Yeah. But yeah, so he gives himself that one too, and he's about to give himself the Superstar of the Year. And then he opens the envelope, and it says Big E, and Big E comes out to accept his award, and Sammy just, what happened? So he pushes Big E out of the way, and Big E attacks him, puts his face into the table, stacked up on the stage, and then throws him down the ramp, and raises an award and shatters it on the ground. And so Big E and Sami Zayn is a feud that is slow burning. You could put this match on the TLC card for Sunday and just give the fucking title to Big E. Like you've done enough. It's time. Big E can be title. Big E can be the Intercontinental Champion right now. Why not? It would maybe shut up people like me who are like, what's happened to that New Day, like, canceling? You had to break them up so you could give Big E a big singles push, and what's going on with that? Nothing? Is that the answer? It would shut me up if you made him the IC champion on Sunday, but I don't even think that match is on the card. I'll have to look that up. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird. So, here's the thing I want to talk about. I don't know if you've seen this. If you watched SmackDown, you saw it. I don't know if you've seen the full version. There's a Happy Holidays video where we all hate the year 2020. God, the year 2020 was so terrible. We all hate the year 2020, don't we? Well, here's what the superstars of WWE have to say about it. And it starts out with Drew McIntyre in the ring. They actually fucking shot this. This wasn't edited like the way they did the rest of the video. He's like, I want to, what a year it's been for all of us. I want to thank you, the fans. And then 2020 shows up and Michael Cole is announced voiceovering. Oh no, not this again. I hate 2020. We all hate 2020, don't we? And it's a CGI, the year 2020, but 2020 on top of each other. It's got little googly alien eyes on top and like disconnected little hands. It looks like a stack of boogers. And it comes down like, oh, everybody shut up. What do you think? Was this supposed to be your year? I think it was Braun Strowman doing the voiceover for this. Can't be sure. Like you were even going to go to the gym anyway. This is my year, blah, blah, blah. And then Drew McIntyre, in the video that played on SmackDown, says, that's enough. And he kicks him. There's a claymore to him. And it's just like they edit in this CGI 2020 over the actual footage of, I don't know who he kicked, Ziggler or somebody. And then they show everybody else doing a bunch of moves to the stack of boogers. But the stack of boogers just won't stay down. So 2021 shows up and it's like a, I don't know, like Captain America, if he was a rocket, I suppose. And he, like, because he's a rocket, he picks up a stack of boogers and jumps up and flies up into space and then, like, pile drives him all the way down into the mat. And the stack of boogers explodes. And the 2021 and Drew McIntyre both raise their arms. Yay! 2021. Oh, he's going to be so great, 2021. There's a longer version of this that was on the social media, and they edited it down. But I don't know if it was for time or for content, because the original version had the stack of boogers say things like stuff like
where were you planning on going on vacation? Were you gonna go to a concert? Ha ha! Well, you can't now.
And then Drew Brickman says, so you've ruined birthdays, weddings, graduations, and we're sick of it. And then he kicks him. So I cut that part out. And I'm wondering if somebody got a hold of them with my complaint about that particular thing, which is, are we boiling down COVID to ruined birthdays? Like you couldn't have a birthday party because of COVID? Or you couldn't walk in your high school graduation because of COVID, which, I mean, like, sucks. But they're like, this is obviously for kids. Like this thing, like you animated the year 2020 look like a stack of boogers with alien eyes. It's for kids. And there are thousands of kids out there watching your show who have lost a parent or a grandparent or a aunt or an uncle to death from this horrible disease. And it's, you're talking about, did you really want to go to a concert? Well, too bad. You can't go to the big game. Boo-hoo. And, like, if that's what it was, if that's all it was, like, we were all locked down in our fucking houses because we, for no reason, and, like, oh, you can't go to the big game this year. Yeah, we can't go to the big game this year because there's a fucking deadly disease out there that's killing people, and that's another thing about it, like, this is something they're doing in the video, but we all need to kind of get our heads around this. 2020 is going to be over soon. It is in like, I don't know, what is that, 12 days? 2021, at least the first quarter of 2021 is going to be worse than the last quarter of 2020. In terms of just, you know, death. At least 100,000 more people will be dead in the first 3 months of 2021. So let's not all be like, 2021 is going to be perfect. As soon as the clock rolls over, when that ball drops, all of our problems are gone. And when you painstakingly create a video that purports that you're part of the problem, especially when it's for kids and when you're trying to like tell kids, oh, it's okay, Timmy. I know you missed your dad, but it's all right. In 12 days, all of those problems are going to be gone. It's bullshit. Nobody asked them to make this. Nobody says you have to make a video about how when 2020 is over, 2021 will be perfect. Nobody told them they had to do this. They did it all on their own. Why even do it? Ah, man, the just the simple tone-deaf incompetence of this company is mind-boggling sometimes. Speaking of mind-boggling incompetence, Bayley hasn't won a match since August. Bianca Belair is on a win streak on SmackDown, being talked about as being the next big thing. I believe, says Corey Graves a couple of weeks ago, that Bianca Belair will be SmackDown Women's Champion, at least at some point during the next year. Before the end of 2021. Not like this she ain't. None of this is how they're going to book her. I mean, she might, but it won't be nearly as good of a reign. Bayley tapped out clean as a whistling sheet to Natalya, of all people, a couple weeks ago. Bianca beat Natalya. Like right before that happened or right after that happened. I'm not really sure which. And in this match, they kept talking about how, you know, Bayley's a former champion. She was champion, you know, 500 days or whatever the fuck it was. So this is a tough test for Bianca. And like, yeah, sure, but it's a test she needs to pass. She has to pass that test. And it's, again, you... Vincent, you decide whether or not she passes that test. This isn't like, you know, somebody got caught and lost a game they should have won. You know, it wasn't Florida losing to LSU last week. You know, like, oh, well, you know, never can tell what'll happen. Any given Saturday, as they say. No. This is you deciding that the woman who hasn't won a match since August should win her first match since August against this juggernaut you've been creating at this point. It's fucking stupid. And it's something we all kind of saw coming because they always fucking do this. Bianca versus Bayley will probably happen again next week. Or the week after that. And they'll drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. And they might even have Bayley eliminate Bianca from the Royal Rumble. Because why not? You know? They might 50-50 them in this feud. They might have them find a tag partner or something and do one of those deals. Bianca and the Riot Squad versus Bayley and Billie Kay and Natalya. Oh, won't that be great? We'll all look and tune into that one. Won't that be fun to continue this feud for way too long? Bianca beats Bayley clean last night. And Bianca moves on. Bayley doesn't want her to move on, so she keeps getting in her way. But every time she does, Bianca thwarts it. Until, if you really want this to happen, Bayley ruins Bianca's big match versus Sasha at Royal Rumble. And then you could start this whole thing all over again if you really wanted to make that the thing. But the biggest deal is you have an up-and-coming next big thing in your women's division. And you can't figure out that the way you book a next big thing is by having them win fucking matches. That's the way you do it. And if you can't figure out that that's how you book your next big thing, I don't know what's wrong with you. Do you think we want to watch an underdog story with Bianca Belair? We want to see her overcome the odds. Just have her beat women. Like, have her wrestle other women in the division and have her win those matches. And if you want the last match that she wins to give her a shot at Sasha's title, to have her beat Bayley in order to do it, fine. There's some fun stuff you could do with this. If it looks as though there's a trajectory for Bianca to versus Sasha, and Sasha gets kind of worried that Bianca is beating everybody they put in front of her. If there's a match, her versus Bayley, because by the way, in this version too, Bayley's also winning matches. Because the way you rehab her after her losing streak is by giving her a winning streak. So when it's Bayley versus Bianca, you could have Sasha interfere to stop Bianca from winning. But Bianca wins anyway. And then you have your almost heel turn set up for Sasha, because she can pretty much do both with the flick of a switch. She's got that ego on her, which I think works for her. But Bianca can have that match. She deserves that match. You called her up from NXT on Raw and she did fucking nothing for months because you didn't have anything for her. And I guess you have something for her now, but what that is losing to a woman who hasn't won a match in 4 months. Are you fucking insane? Morons. Yeah, they're like, it's a big Bianca Belair push. We're going to push her. As far as I knew, she was one of the favorites to win the Royal Rumble. Everyone was talking about, like, well, I don't know who else you give it to. It probably would be Charlotte, because Charlotte's coming back. You know, Charlotte's coming back eventually. Probably will be Charlotte. But if it's not Charlotte, I don't know, Rhea maybe? Maybe Bianca. Like, people were talking about in that kind of way, you know? Big Bianca Belair push. Off a cliff. Because this is the best you got. It's her losing via eye rake that the ref doesn't see. And then not fistful of tights, not protected by the fact that her opponent had her feet on the ropes. No. Eye rake and then got hit with the finisher and then lost. Fucking bullshit. Roman Reigns has a promo he cuts in the middle of the ring talking about basically like, just being in the ring with me makes you more relevant, makes you more money. Why wouldn't you just take the match with me, come in, get your ass kicked, and leave? Why do you got to make it a personal thing? And Owens comes out. He's in bad shape. So Owens tries to attack Uso on his way in and then attacks Roman. Uso recovers, kicks him, and they just start to go to town. They just beat the fuck out of Owens, put him through tables, hit him with chairs, stack a bunch of chairs and stuff on top of him. And then there's a "you suck" chant. Now, I like Kevin Owens, but I'm not starting a "you suck" chant for Roman Reigns. Uso and Heyman, they go back to the back, and they're there in the gorilla position. Kayla's gonna ask him a question, but they look at the TV screen and Owens is crawling out from under the chairs. He sets up a chair and sits in the chair, takes a mic, says, "There's nothing you can do to me. You're going to have to kill me." to beat me. And there you go. That's TLC. That's the TLC Go Home show. It's all very good. That whole segment was very, very good. I don't sound impressed by it because I'm still reeling from the shit booking of Bianca Belair. Let's go through TLC. What's in TLC? Do 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 do. Mm-hmm. So the big one that it appears to me that we're gonna have da, 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 da. So yeah, Drew McIntyre versus AJ Styles in a TLC match. That's Drew, I think, wins that unless they're like, let's shake things up for Raw because AJ should win that. I mean, if they do that, I think they should do it in a way that like maybe almost comes in and hits one big move on Drew. I mean, it's a no disqualification match. Anything goes. So if Omos is out there with AJ Styles and he doesn't attack Drew, then what the fuck are we doing? So if you're going to do something where you want to like shake things up, get people tuning into Raw to look at the new champ, maybe you do that. Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Roman is winning that, but it should be a lot of fun. It should be a really great match. I'll say that. Should be a great match. McIntyre versus AJ will be a good match too, but I think there's something really special about the stuff Roman and Kevin are doing. Sasha Banks versus Carmella. Sasha's winning that. That's not even really a question to me. I'm getting sick. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and TBD. Now, Peyton Royce got on Twitter and was like, hey, Asuka, just in case you need somebody for Sunday, I'm available. And I know you know that I can work because we've had matches against each other. And Asuka says, let's do it together, is her response. So I don't know if that's official, but if the best that Asuka can do is Peyton Royce, we got problems. My prediction has always been it's going to be Charlotte to pop a rating on Monday because I think she's going to turn on Asuka. And then you got the feud, the Asuka versus Charlotte feud carrying you into. For some reason, Asuka picks Charlotte, who is her fucking nemesis, to be her tag partner. And during the match, Charlotte turns on Asuka. And then you get Asuka versus Charlotte. And then the other match, I'm looking at that. I don't, they're added other matches that I don't know see here. It's New Day versus Hurt Business versus Cedric and Shelton for the Raw Tag Team Championships. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is a TLC pay-per-view. We have two TLC matches. We don't have a T. We don't have an L. And we don't have a C. Is there a reason why, like, for example, the Raw Tag Team titles can't be like a ladder match? New Day versus Hurt Business in a ladder match would be great. Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin in a ladder match? You fucking kidding me? Why is that not a ladder match? Make it a fucking ladder match. I don't necessarily need to see a chairs match. Thanks very much. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler versus Asuka and what used to be Lana. That should have been the tables match. Are you fucking kidding me? The whole goddamn thing was built on Lana being put through tables. But there's no chairs match. There is, however, a fiery inferno match. Excuse me. Firefly inferno match, which I don't know which is the difference. But an inferno match, man, you got this. Now, it used to be you had to light your opponent on fire to win, and then it became just pin your opponent in the middle of the ring while the ring is on fire. Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton, I was not into. I'm kind of into the inferno match. I'm not gonna lie, like that's interesting. We haven't seen one of those in a long time, so I'm kind of into that. No IC title match. That could be easily done. Sami Zayn versus Big E. That's easy to do. Bobby Lashley has enough of a thing going on with both Riddle and Jeff Hardy for him to be up there with either one of them. but that's not going on. And obviously there's no women's title match on Raw because Asuka is mired in this tag thing. So it's just title matches, right? No, no, it's the Firefly Inferno match. I mean, it's, I don't know. A couple of matches seem to be interesting to watch because you're not really sure. I think the New Day versus Hurt Business match could steal the show. I really do. As far as just in-ring work rate. I mean, I think Roman and Kevin will be match of the night. They're going to try to kill each other. And there's going to be a lot of intrigue, I suppose, around Wyatt versus Randy Orton. But, I mean, this could be a decent card. Could be better than I'm thinking it might be. But since there's other things they could have done to add stuff to this match. There's just six matches. I don't really need to have more than that. But TLC. Will I watch it live? I don't know. Maybe, depending. Not sure. So next week, there's a around the time I normally do my Tuesday night show, they're going to do a our holiday stream, which is a really cool thing. Sean's going to run it, and myself will be on it, and Jeremy Lambert, and Denise Salcedo, and some other people as well. It will just be us shooting the shit, answering questions, and all the super chats that are donated to that stream will go to us, the little peons, not Sean. Sean is writing the new Max contract that he signed. He got the Giannis deal. But the rest of us who are on the veteran minimums, we're going to get to split the super chats, which is nice. And even nicer, the big boss man, Jimmy Van, is not the actual big boss man. He's dead. But the big boss man, Jimmy Van, he's going to match all of the donations. So that'll be really nice. And if you wanted to join and watch and kick your boy a few bucks, I wouldn't say no. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'll probably wind up doing the Raw. I'll probably wind up doing a reaction to the results of Raw, the TLC Fallout show that's going to happen on Monday. I'll probably do a reaction to what happened, even though I won't have watched most of it on Monday night. Just because I don't think I'll be able to handle doing that holiday stream, which who knows long how long that's going to go on, and then do a set of reps right after it. I don't think my voice will take it. But I'll make sure and talk about Raw at some point and TLC as well next week. And everybody, stay safe. I know we have a lot of people who watch this stuff from England. I know that shit is going down over there, and it's not fun, and people are really upset, and I understand. And there are a lot of things that are going to suck about the next week and the next few months. And the best thing I can say is it's going to suck, but it would suck a lot more if we weren't doing the right things to stave off a horrible, deadly disease. As it is, don't even know if we're going to go visit my wife's family on Christmas, because we're probably not supposed to do that. Just have a Zoom Christmas. It sucks. It fucking sucks. I know. Everything sucks. Everything sucks. I say it, and it's true, but nothing sucks worse than this situation we are all in. We're going to make it through. A lot of us aren't, and that fucking sucks. But the ones of us who do, I firmly believe it, will be stronger for it. Until that day, though, Everything sucks.